is Ian Squire. He's a serving police handler for dogs, which is absolutely fantastic. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Lovely to have your company. And, you know, you look after our wonderful police dogs, don't you?
Well, I personally look after two of my own, yeah. Well, the fund that we're going to talk about, I know, is responsible for looking after many more that have retired, that have served, and they're now retired.
Now, to actually train a police dog costs a lot of money, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's time, money, effort. I don't know how they would qualify the figures to. I don't know how you would put an absolute figure, a precise figure on how long it takes to train, or what it costs to train one. Sorry, but it can be a long process. All dogs are different; they're like us. They all learn in different ways. Some are a bit smarter than others.
But you've always worked in the police force, and have you always been a dog handler within the police force?
No, the dog unit, the dog support unit, as it's now known, is a specialist department. So, as with any specialist department, be it traffic, firearms, CID, whatever you want to go to, you need to serve your time and probation, cut your teeth, and then look at specialising. So you've got to do your 2 years regardless before you can look at moving elsewhere.
And dogs have been your love. I mean, you've had dogs your own at home as well, but police dogs have always been a love of yours, haven't they?
Yeah, definitely. It's why I joined the job, if I'm honest, and I set my stall out from day one of my police career. And this is exactly what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, I was lucky enough to get on the unit fairly young in service, and I'm still here.
Now, how old would a dog be to retire? I mean, obviously, they must start training the dogs very young. Of course, a dog's life, what, is 7 years in 1 year. So a dog would retire at what sort of age?
We like to have we've got two specialisms, if you like, that we look at. Our general purpose dogs, which are our big German Shepherds or Malinois, we like to have them retire between seven or eight years old. It's quite a physical role that they have. And they're probably more prone to health issues as they get older than some of the smaller dogs. Now, our smaller dogs, our specialist dogs, that might be used for drugs work, explosives, victim recovery, that sort of thing, they can work a bit longer. It's not as physical, it's not quite as demanding. And as long as they're fit, healthy, happy, enjoying it still, they could probably go to their 9 or 10 sometimes.
Now, a police dog's trained to do many things. It's not just go after fugitives, is it? It can be anything from bomb explosives to anything, really, that is not safe to go in.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody on the unit will work what we call a general purpose dog, and that would be your typical image that you have of this big German Shepherd, and they're the ones that chase people, detain people. We work alongside the firearms teams. They track across various terrains. We use them to locate missing people, vulnerable missing people. And it's an all-round dog. You know, they do a bit of everything, except for where we specialise in the roles of drugs detection, cash, weapons, firearms, bombs, victim recovery, body parts, crime scene investigation dogs. For those roles, we use a different animal. And that's where we usually have the things like your Springer Spaniels, your Cocker Spaniels, Labradors, and we've recently got a pointer that I'm using.
But we use them for disasters, we use them for drug searches, looking after fugitives. They've got such a wide variety of tasks within the police force, haven't they?
They do. Absolutely. I mean, we give lots of talks and presentations, and we do ask an awful lot of them. As an example, I might be chasing and detaining someone on the morning with my dog, and then 2 hours later I've got to go and do a school visit. So yeah, they are an all-round tool. We do ask an awful lot of them.
Now, some of them have become very popular with, of course, police interceptors on our television. They've become personalities.
They have.
Have you had any of those dogs that have been personalities?
I've got one of my dogs, Kaiser. He's featured in that program. And my current dog, Lottie, she is to feature. She has had a bit of a bit part, but she is to feature on this series, I believe. But yes, some of the Cleveland dogs have become real personalities as well.
I often wonder, you know, when they're chasing fugitives, do they actually bite physically?
Yes.
They do?
Oh, yes.
You'll get a bite?
Yeah. There's lots. When you look across the way dogs are used throughout the world, there's various different means. Some forces and services you do what we call a muzzle attack, so that the dogs are literally used to knock this person over. It's a distraction technique, if you like. But here in the UK, yes, we still train the dogs to hold and detain.
Now, obviously, you know, you've got two dogs, but those dogs have got to like you then, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, how'd you match them up? They say, oh, I like Ian, I'm going to stay with Ian. How does that come about? It's just amazing.
I think that's something that becomes apparent or not. We do try to team the dog with a... make a decent team, because the dog... it is a team. The handler and the dog are a team. It's not everything's down to the dog. I mean, if they learn to drive, we're out of it. You know, we'll have nothing to do. But you've got to be aware of your dog. They live with us, so that's a big part. I mean, you have them for as long as you can, from as young as you can, if ideally and you build that bond. They become part of the family, part of your life. They come home with me, they come to work with me. When I'm on holiday, they're away. Nobody else works them, it's just you and those dogs. So you do get a great bond, and
trust is going to be a big part of it as well.
Trust is huge, yeah.
Now, I mean, you know, you let a dog go, then obviously, you know, it's going to run a lot faster than what you are, or have you got to sort of follow it to some extent?
It depends on the circumstance that you're working them in, or that situation, as to how you work the dog. There's lots of different methods of working the dog, with tracking lines, free searching. It all depends on the situation, and obviously paramount to us is the safety of the animal. So you wouldn't expect to be letting the dog work freely next to the motorway or near a train station or something like that. So you all those things. And again, it depends what you're there to do on that situation.
So their training then covers everything, doesn't it? From sort of like sniffing drugs, it could be catching a fugitive, it could be retrieving explosives.
Yeah, I wouldn't use the term retrieving explosives, because I wouldn't fancy having one with a bag full of Semtex running back towards me. Again, dependent on the dog, is dependent on what role that dog does. Again, an example there is a bomb detection dog. We wouldn't train to do anything else. Some of our dogs, we dual train them to do different disciplines or locate different things. Yeah. With an explosive search dog, you would never do that, because you want to know if that dog indicates something, that's a very real indication or threat as to what that is. So you wouldn't go and investigate it further yourself for safety reasons. But a drugs dog, a lot of our drugs dog are dual trained to find weapons. So let's say I was searching this room now and the dog gave me an indication in the bag. I could then go and search it, because I don't know if he or she's indicated on drugs or a firearm. With an explosive search dog, if you dual train that, you don't really want to have that risk of going and investigating further.
You must become very attached to these dogs.
Of course you do, yeah.
And yeah. Obviously, you know, they get older and then obviously they retire, and this is how this website and also this Facebook that you've actually set up has come about, hasn't it? Because you just love them when they come out of service, and you've set this sort of Paws Up Bob.
Well, yeah, Paws Up Bob's is an add-on to the benevolent fund that we set up. For a long time it bothered me that there was no help in place for the dogs when they retire. These things give an awful lot to the communities, and they, you know, it's not a hard life, I wouldn't say, but it's quite a demanding role. When the dog comes to retire, historically it was just a case of the handler would either keep it or try and find a home somewhere, but all costs and related expenses were then down to the new owner. I, for a long time, it bothered me, as I say, so eventually I managed to get some support, and the force have been very supportive of since we got it off the ground. And with some help from a few individuals, we a lot of work, a lot of effort, and we set up a benevolent fund called Paws Up, and then that forms part of a registered charity, Durham Agency Against Crime. That was 3 years ago, summer of 2013, we launched it. So now, any dog that retires, has served for Durham and retires after that date, they are eligible for assistance from the fund.
What a fantastic thing to do. Over the years that you've been training dogs, I mean, what's the most amazing thing that you've seen a dog do?
Oh, blimey.
That has amazed you?
It's a difficult... There would be loads. And you... It's difficult to quantify, it really is, because you don't know... sometimes just the presence of a dog, if I'm talking about the general purpose dog, sometimes the presence can stop something happening, and that's quite a lot. That happens quite a lot. For every dog handler would have a bucket full of stories that they could tell you about what their dog's done this, and they'll all mean something different to them, because it might be something, you might have a really good track and you've located a missing kid after searching for 2 hours and tracking 5 miles or something like that, and that might mean more to the handler than taking out the armed robber. Because of anyway, it might be mean more to the handler, because you might have had issues with tracking or searching or something, so you've constantly worked on that. So it's a really difficult one to say, to answer. My new dog recently's had a couple of terrific drugs finds. That's great, because she's new, and it's a lovely thing to see. Dogs historically have had some great results as well.
What do they get for rewards?
Again, all different. Generally, lots of fuss, lots of praise. A ball is often what they're searching for. Could be food. It could be anything. Anything that's that dog's happy, toy or reward. In training, it's we try and replicate real life as best we can in training. So we try and keep it as close as we can to reality. And training is where they build up the association of doing the correct, giving the correct result and getting that reward. So whatever that becomes is what we try and instill when we're doing it for live, for real as well.
And they have national sort of police awards for people that have helped the police in the past. Do they have that for dogs as well?
No, not really. I think, again, over this age of, and certainly over the last couple of years, of the social media side of things has taken off massively. And the police dogs are whichever force you're with, or even country, and they're hugely, hugely popular. And there's even police Twitter awards now. But I think we still have national competitions for police dogs. And I think there's things in the pipeline at the moment where people want to start seeing more recognition for the work that these animals do. So yeah, I think there are things in the pipeline.
Do they have to be tested frequently? They pass their training, do they have to sort of be checked once a year, twice a year?
All the dogs, regardless of the discipline, are assessed a couple of times a year, and they have to meet certain criteria, safety, control, efficiency. And if there's any issues with that, then you could have your... Because it's what we call being licensed to work on the streets. So if there's any issues with that, it would be a Home Office approved instructor that would make the decision, no, this needs to be looked at. Then you're given a period of time to try and correct it, you've reassessed, and hopefully all's well after that. But it can be career threatening for a dog, particularly if it's a safety or control exercise. So we don't have dangerous dogs, they're well trained.
Now, we've got police interceptors on at the moment on Channel 5, and you see many dogs on there, and you must be proud to see them as well.
It's great. We're fortunate enough, and working alongside with our Cleveland colleagues, I think we've ended up with some decent footage or stories or storylines or incidents that have been filmed with the dogs. And that's great, because it's quite often, this is months of filming being put together into a few 8-hour programs. And so it's nice to have been able to capture some things. Yeah, so yeah, it is. It's great to see, and it's we've got a great target audience with that program. You know, we're doing little events here and there, and you've got kids coming on that want their photographs taken with you and autographs signing. That wouldn't have happened 2-3 years ago. So it's the right target audience, and it's just showing that we're human, and it's nice to be able to show off the skills of all the departments involved, but for me, particularly the dogs.
But that must help your charity as well, your Paws Up Bub charity, because, you know, it's only fair to say that you do all that voluntary in your spare time, mm-hmm. and that gives that publicity, and it gives the police publicity at the same time.
Yeah, of course it does. And it has helped us with the charity. We've been, again, fortunate enough to have permission to... colleague of and friend of mine, Mike Fisher, who's quite a popular character from the programme as well. We had Bob, who we've mentioned before. We have a little mascot called Bob, and he's a soft toy. We're the only ones that sell this now. It's made specifically for our charity, and we've also got a life-size version of Bob, as he's known, called Big Bob. Hence the Paws Up Bob Facebook page. Now, little Bob, Spike decided to run a competition at this year's Bikewise event. The ethos behind Bob is that people buy it, they take pictures of him somewhere interesting, funny, we take him on holiday, send them in, we put him on the website on the Where's Bob page. So Spike decided to set a competition, we had a week or so to... for people who ever bought one at the event to send the pictures back in, and it was a huge success. I mean, really, really went overwhelmed. We had hundreds of entries. We sold a couple of hundred mascots and raised the profile again. Brilliant.
And you've raised many, many pounds for charity.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, again, coming back to the fund, the veterinary treatment can be, you know, hugely expensive, as we all know. If you're looking at an 8-year-old German Shepherd, say, that's been a working dog, it's very, very difficult to get that animal insured. We've got, so part of the main purpose of the fund is to have a pot of money. So if you, say, you took my dog on and retired, if you needed help with veterinary care, then, you know, you make an application and we can help you out. On top of that, we've got some local veterinary schemes, Dunelm Vets in Durham. They offer some discounted services. We've got discounted food schemes set up. We neuter the dogs. We transfer the microchip for free. There's all sorts of things in place to help the animals out as part of the fund.
And one of the things that's come up sort of on board recently is where they can put a little camera on the dog, so you can actually physically see them retrieve and do their job. That must help you a lot.
Yeah, with the camera system that we routinely use is for our general purpose dogs, and it's a system devised by American Special Forces, and we use it in conjunction with our firearms officers. So the idea would be that we can use that. It's a harness that goes on the back of the dog, and a camera system that sits on the back, and the handler and the commander at the scene have wrist monitors. So when you've deployed the dog, let's say around a building looking for whatever, an armed suspect, or you can actually physically see what the dog's seeing. And we train quite a lot for that as well, so it's an absolutely brilliant tool.
And it gives you a great chance to assess the dog as well.
Yeah, it does.
Actions.
Yeah, of course it does. And you can see what it's doing, where it's been. And it does help in for training issues.
Now, with all that's been going on, with all the charity work that you've been doing, is there a dog that you've looked after that you've loved more than any other? Is there one that stands out?
I think, they're not listening. I think you'll always have an affiliation with your first proper successful police dog. So, I've got a couple. And one is still alive. We're living with friends of mine. Mm-hmm. He was a case. What happened? What we often get, not criticised, but a lot of people say, well, how could you give up your dog when it's been part of your life and you've worked with it so long? And I always reply, you've got to look at what's best for the dog. I've been in both situations. I've kept retired dog and I've rehomed a retired dog. And the ones I've rehomed, or the one I rehomed, if you compare the lifestyle that he's got now, he's with an adoring family, young family. He's got his own Facebook page. They take him on holiday. He's got constant companionship. Compare that to in a busy household where me and my partner were away from work. You might be sitting in a kennel for 8-10 hours a day just waiting for me to come home. So yeah, weigh it up and look at the best options for the dog. And
but if you came across that dog now and you went to visit him, that dog would recognise you straight away.
Well, funny you should say that. He probably would. He's been with them a few years now, with the family a few years. And to be honest, it wouldn't bother me if the dog, and this is going to sound awful to you listeners, but I'll explain why. It wouldn't bother me if the dog didn't want anything to do with me or want to have anything to do with me. And the reason for that is that would show me that he's very happy where he is.
But that must be very heart-wrenching for you. Yeah,
of course it is.
You must come and shed a few tears afterwards.
No.
There's a lot of heartbreak goes into this as well, isn't there?
Of course there is, and particularly when you lose one. I've still got my first shepherd. She's, bless her, she's in a box on my kitchen shelf. You can't describe the sort of the bond that you have. You spend so much time with them, you know, you really do, and it's like losing a member of the family.
Now, pause up, Bob. Where would you like to take that? Because you're doing so well with it. It's on Facebook, it's on Twitter, I believe.
He's been great. Like I say, we sell a small mascot via the website, and at any events that we go to, and the website pawsup.org.uk. A spin-off from the Bob mascot was we've got this huge one, and he's great. We can't obviously disclose as to who is in it half the time, he's become very popular. We ended up doing a. He's always been available and he's always made appearances, but if you're aware of this 22 push-up challenge that's been doing the rounds recently, great initiative. I did it personally, and I kept it a little bit interesting with utilised my dogs with it as well, so that went down quite well. Then
did any of your dogs do it as well? The push-ups.
I'll say they helped. They probably hindered if you've seen any of them. Some of them are hilarious.
But that raised a lot of money as well, because that was fantastic. That went to a lot of charities, and a lot of people did it for the post-traumatic stress disorder, didn't they?
Yeah, post-traumatic stress. I'm ex-forces. It's something close to my heart. I know plenty of sufferers. The idea of Big Bob doing it was born, and he was nominated. So in our true style, we decided to make it a little bit more interesting. So some of them are great. It was good fun to do. Quite hard work to do logistically to get some of the challenges set up, but if you have a look at some of the challenges he did, it was terrific fun and raised a great profile. And we linked that in with another charity called Service Dogs UK, and what they do is they provide, it's a lovely link, they take rescue dogs or dogs in rescue kennels, and the suitable ones, they train them to become assistance dogs for sufferers and ex-veterans and sufferers of post-traumatic stress disorder. So we hopefully had some benefit for them as well.
Because don't forget, it's not just the dogs keeping fit, you've got to keep physically fit as well.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you keep the dogs fit? Because you must be sort of have to watch what they eat and what they take daily.
They're not house pets at the end of the day. It's up to the handlers whether they live in the house or not, but most are kenneled outside. And lots of reasons for that. We have a decent diet that we give them, that we're provided. And plenty of exercise.
Ian, can I thank you very much for popping in?
No problems at all.
It's been absolutely brilliant. I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the half hour with you.
No, good.
And, you know, it's a wonderful job that you do for the police retired dogs, and send everybody at the force our special wishes, won't you? Wish you all the very best in the future. And if we can help here on 105.9 Bishop FM with anything that you do in the future, we'd only be too pleased to do so.
Well, likewise, anything for Big Bob to turn up, give us a shout, we'll be there.